Anyway, this is the final installment on our travels through the Sermon on the Mount. It's taken 5 months to explore what Jesus did in about 30 minutes. I am praying about and exploring the possibility of going to Zambia sometime next year to teach in a university for pastors. Don't know that it's going to happen, just praying about it, so I ask you to pray also. But I talked to the lady the other day that coordinates this, and the course is 8 days long, 5 hours each day, 40 hours total. Now, if I took all 19 messages that we've had on the Sermon on the Mount and put them all together, it would come out to be about 8.5 hours. So I'm a little intimidated by the idea of 40 hours of anything to teach or whatever. But anyway, just pray about that and see where that leads. Today's passage is going to call to mind for a lot of us a children's song that most of you probably sang or at least heard. Back when we were in Vacation Bible School, we had kind of the same songs all the time, and we didn't have all those fancy motions and all that kind of stuff. It was just pretty simple stuff. And the one that I'm thinking of is the wise man built his house upon the rock, and then the rains came down and the floods came up. You're all familiar with that, I think, for the most part. The kids always enjoyed the part most where it says, "And the house on the sand went splat." You all remember that. Anyway, I just want to remind you again that the original Sermon on the Mount was presented all at one time, not in 19 different installments. And the people who were there weren't distracted by the things that you and I are often distracted by. You know, we get our phone buzzes and we have to see what it is and that kind of stuff. That didn't happen at the Sermon on the Mount. And they didn't have worries about, you know, travel, that type of thing, because they were there to hear Jesus preach. So I really hope and pray that's what we're here for today, is to hear from Jesus. I'm not going to go through this whole series again, obviously, but when we start off here, it starts off with the word therefore. And what I really want to encourage each and every one of you to do when you get home today, don't do it now because that would be a distraction, but go back and read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and see what the therefore is referring back to. And so the very last thing that Jesus told the multitudes who were there at the Sermon on the Mount was the message that I had 2 weeks ago, where he said, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, those who think they've done enough, or those who think they've been good enough, are in for a surprise, an eternal, horrible surprise. Only those who do the will of our Father in heaven, as Carolyn's song stated, that those are the ones that will be allowed in. Don't forget, as if we could, that last sentence again that Jesus said in the last message that we had from here, Jesus said, "I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So it's on the heels of that that our passage today begins. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29 today. The first four verses are the words of Jesus, and the last two verses are just a kind of an editorial comment about that. So I'm going to ask if you would and are able, please stand as we read from God's word. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Although this comes directly after the "I never knew you" passage, the first verse has Jesus referring to the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, if you've heard these things, everything they heard, everything you've heard since January 28th when we began this, is what Jesus is talking about in verse 1. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, there's two qualifications here. First of all, you have to hear the sayings of Jesus. To know his teachings is one of the qualifications. And obviously, everybody who was there in that multitude to hear the Sermon on the Mount heard his teachings. Now, you may have missed a few Sundays in this series, and maybe today's your very first time to be here, but here's the deal. You've got the opportunity to read his word. You also have the opportunity to listen to messages on the website or on the radio, so you've heard these things. And the point of all this is, even if this is the first Sunday that you've been here for any of these, you have heard the sayings of Jesus. And the second qualification here is, and does them. You've heard them. Now we're supposed to do them. And so once again, I'm going to encourage you to go back and read everything in the Sermon on the Mount. I won't repeat it all here, but you need not just to hear what Jesus said or read what Jesus said. You need to do what Jesus said. Every single thing that he pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount, we are called to do. And that's doing the will of the Father. That's what we're supposed to do. It really convicts me when you go back and read these things about loving your enemy, about blessing those who curse you, about all these different things that Jesus said. And we've heard them and we think it's great, but now he says, do them. And don't lose sight of what Jesus said would happen if we didn't do them. He will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And that's so scary. I had people come up to me after the message 2 weeks ago and say, that really is the scariest passage in the whole Bible. Because a lot of people think, I've been baptized, I go to church most Sundays, I read my Bible, you know, once in a while, so aren't I doing what he's called me to do? There's so much more than just that in the Sermon on the Mount. We're called to do the things he taught to us in this sermon. Now, a lot of times, you know, it's okay for us to do that maybe in the good times, but when the bad times come along, we kind of forget. And that's verse 25. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Most of us, probably all of us, can testify to the times that, you know, our house is getting beat upon. Maybe not physically by a storm, but something else. So that the rains have come down and the floods have come up. And our faith is greatly shaken as a result of that. Had Marcia read to you from Isaiah 28 and verse 16 says this again. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Well, hundreds of years before Jesus preached this Sermon on the Mount, God had told his people that he, God, had laid a foundation, a precious and a sure foundation. We used to sing a song called Jesus is a Rock in a Weary Land. In the land where all these trials and tribulations come upon us. But Jesus is our rock. He is the cornerstone. And his teachings are indeed a foundation for our lives. So here's what that little children's song that I remember from 60-some years ago and this message that Jesus preached from 2,000 years ago is trying to say to you and to me today. We have to build on the foundation of Jesus and his word. When I was a senior in high school, which obviously has been a long time ago, but it was just absolutely expected of me and of most of my classmates that we would go to college. Everybody was expected to go to college back in those times. Not everyone did, but everybody would tell us, you can't have a good life unless you build on a college education. Well, that may have been more true then than now, but the whole idea that people were trying to get across to us is that the foundation of your life is education. Well, Let me say this to each and every one that's here today. College education or a good job or a good location, lots of different things like that may or may not be important to you. But if you're building your life on any foundation other than Jesus Christ, you can expect a resounding crash. If you're building on Jesus first and then adding all these other things, you know, build on Jesus, then get your education. Build on Jesus, then you get your good job. Move to where you want to be. Find your soulmate, whatever. But build on Jesus first. And then when the rains and the floods and everything else comes, your foundation won't crumble because it is Jesus. Like I said, I had a wedding last week. And I said to this couple, like I say to every couple I've ever joined together, keep Jesus at the center of your marriage. Don't let anything come between you and your spouse except Jesus. And keep him at the center of your marriage if you want it to succeed. And I want to say this. I think that's true not just of marriages. It's true of every aspect of our lives. Make Jesus the foundation of how you treat other people, how you raise your kids, how you do your job, how you drive your car. I keep seeing all these incredibly insane stories about road rage, you know. And we need to drive our cars as if Jesus was sitting beside us and treat people the way that we'd like to be treated. Use Jesus and his teachings as your foundation for everything, everything that you do. Now, I know that's a lot easier said than done, but we've got to do that as best as possible. And if we do that, our house will not fall, despite the attacks that come against us. Now for the house on the sand, verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, I don't know this. I've never been to Israel yet. I read that the sand along the shores in Israel bakes very hard in the summertime and gives the appearance of being rock solid. But then when the rains come and the waves come, it melts away like sugar. It's a great illustration. We've all seen pictures of houses that are built on the sides of mountains because they want the beautiful view. And then when the rains come and the mud starts sliding, the house becomes a pile of useless rubble. And I'm always amazed at the places where people choose to build a house, you know. But I'll also see pictures of houses built on the seashore, which is a personal dream of mine, you know. But then when the hurricane winds blow, the house collapses. Although the multitude who very first heard these words preached may not have had those kind of vivid images in their mind, they understood the idea. If you build on sand, the house won't stand. Just simple as that. One of the important things to notice in this part of the passage, though, is this. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine, the people who didn't do these things, heard the teachings of Jesus. These people had been taught by Jesus himself, and they had the same opportunity by reading his word, by hearing his word proclaimed, to build on a greater foundation. In other words, these people knew better. Everyone who hears the words of Jesus and does not do them, they know better. Now, we've heard, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount that we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't try to remove specks from somebody else's eye when there's a log in our own. We've heard that we should let our light so shine so that others will see and give God the glory, and so much more. But folks, I'm begging you to hear this. If we hear these things, as most of you have heard, and then we don't do them, don't follow them, it does no good whatsoever. If you come to church every Sunday and hear God's word proclaimed, and most of you know I keep an attendance chart and I know who's here and who's not and that kind of stuff. So if you come every Sunday, or at least most Sundays, and I check your name off my list, that's a good thing. But if you walk out that door and live just like you have been living, you haven't heard anything. That's a house waiting to collapse. pure and simple. And I won't tell you, and Jesus didn't mean here, that if we do the things that he taught us to do, everything's going to be peachy. That's not what he said. Even the man who heard the words and did them still had rains descending and floods coming up and winds beating at the house. He still had trials and tribulations and difficulties, maybe even more so than those who don't accept the word. But the house was on a firm foundation, and it didn't fall, because Jesus is the rock in a weary land. One of the things that I've seen on the little funeral folders, you know, that they put out, there's a poem that starts off, "God doesn't promise sky's always blue," if you've ever seen that. He promised us as believers that we would have troubles, we would have persecutions. But again and again and again, the truth is that if our foundation is built solidly on Jesus, we will be able to withstand the storms. And better still, the promise of heaven, where there truly will be no trials, no difficulties, no storms. But the only way to get there, the only way to get to heaven, is through Jesus and through his word. Verse 27, still on the house on the sand. "And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Now the stories of the two men and the two houses both have the same beginning, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine." And they both have the same problem, the rains and the floods and the winds. But the difference is the ending. The foundation is the difference. Do we take what we've heard and use it? And don't miss this last sentence, "And great was its fall." The fall that comes from not heeding the words of Jesus will be tremendous. And hear this, it will be eternal. It will be eternal. Don't get a second chance. Every single time that I stand up here to share God's word, when it's over, I wonder, did it make a difference? And I want to make sure you understand, I know that it's not my words, it's not the words that I type in that are important. It's the words of Jesus, and it's a movement of the Holy Spirit that's important. But there's a lot of times that I walk away from here thinking I'm trying to float a lead balloon. I pray that's not the case today. I pray that we hear the words of Jesus and commit to do our level best within our power and through the power of God to live what he tells us to do. The people who heard Jesus speak these words were privileged to hear truly the greatest message ever preached. Verses 28 and 29 sum it all up. "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." It would have been astonishing, to say the least, to have been there in that moment. But the people of that time were used to hearing the Pharisees and the scribes teach them. And their primary intent, the scribes were the ones who wrote down the word and kind of kept track of it. The Pharisees just told them if you were doing it right or not. And their primary intent was to hold their power over the people. Not so that people could be sanctified or that God could be glorified, anything like that. It was just so they could hold on to that power. Nobody dared question their power until Jesus. The scribes pretended to have authority over God's word, but truly, Jesus did have authority over God's word. And the people understood this, and they were astonished. This series on the Sermon on the Mount, I pray, has not been under my authority or my words, but the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus are our firm foundation on which we are to build our lives, and even more importantly, to build our eternity upon. I just ask you to consider this morning, what are you building on? Are you building on your education, your job, your spouse, something else? those foundations, while those things are good, those foundations will not withstand the storms. It must be Jesus who is your foundation. Jesus and his word, that must be the thing we build our lives upon. If you've never done that, if you're still waiting for a sign or waiting for something else, this is the time right now to start building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. If you've done that, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, but then you still can walk out of here every Sunday and not do the things that he's called you to do. And I'm really giving you a homework assignment here. I want you to go back and reread these three chapters and consider each time that you see what Jesus commands us to do. Am I doing that? Am I living that? What would Jesus say about how I am handling these things that he taught us to do? Please consider. And I really believe that if somebody is truly saved, they are eternally saved. But I also believe this. If you've been saved and you can live your life not doing what Jesus taught us to do, it's something you really need to examine in your own hearts. Am I really doing what Jesus wants me to do? Time for decisions. If you've got something on your heart that you need to pray about, I encourage you to come forward. If you've got some decision that you need to make, today's the day. It's a day to get started building on that firm foundation. Let's pray. Father, it's hard for me to stand here and say those words even, because I know that there are times in my life when I don't do what you call upon me to do, Lord, when I have a hard time blessing my enemies, or I have a hard time not passing judgment on somebody, or I have so many different things, Lord, that I know I fail at. But Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for each person here that we truly commit to building on the foundation of Jesus and his word. Lord, I just pray that people could look at us and see our light so shine before men that they would give you the glory. I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for giving us this foundation to build upon, and I pray that each one here chooses to build on that foundation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.